Sorry, one minute. Anton, what's your favourite film?
Hi, Ants.
My favourite film would probably be...
It says a lot about you, by the way.
The Lion King.
Green Street.
No.
I used to love that.
There's a film that came to your head, you just don't want to say it.
Go for it, man.
It's Harry Potter, you know.
No.
It's subjective, bro.
At the moment, because of the kids, I'm like Cars. I watch Cars every day. but I'd say...
is decent.
I'd say Air. I like Air, man.
Air?
That's a Disney one.
I haven't watched that. No, you're talking about Up. You're talking about Up.
Michael Jordan one.
I hated Air. I hated it.
I loved it.
Right now, current form. Yeah, current I loved form. It.
Now, what's your favourite film of all time?
Of all time? Of all time. Don't Be a Menace.
That's yours. What's yours?
Mine's Boys
Don't
in
Be a Menace or Menace to Society.
No, Don't Be a Menace. What?
The funny one.
Yeah, I love it. What's wrong with that?
Well, boys, we got a special guest.
He's not that special with his film choices.
Nah, let's be honest. Air.
Yeah, crazy.
You know why Air, though? Because of the way that his mum just changed the game.
She did it in real life, though.
They're saying that a lot of the information in that film is not true. A lot of the stuff that they...
Ruined it.
Propaganda. I really told
you. Father Christmas ain't real.
He told you the Tooth Fairy's not real.
But it shouldn't change whether the film's good, though.
But even though, what it does, it sets a precedent for people like us to be able to go out there and go, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And this is how I'm going to change my game and everything. So I really like it because of that.
Inspirational. It is an inspirational film.
Yeah. I just didn't like it.
Has everybody here watched Saltburn yet?
Yes.
Oh, not yet, man.
Please, let's all finish it and then come back.
So that's filthy.
I'm a friend. I wouldn't advise, if you haven't watched it, I wouldn't advise you to watch that.
You don't advise friends to watch good stuff?
It's not good. You think that's good? Have you finished it?
Yes. That is good, though.
Did you watch the end? Did you watch the final scene?
He's a very good actor.
What do you think? Miles, what do you think? Real or fake?
It's not real, is it?
Last time we had a special guest on the show, it was Nader Manuar, and it was very serious. He had good points. It was very, like, highbrow. I'm very sorry, Anton.
Cool, man.
You've come on a day where it's the day.
These are the ones.
Anton, what team do you support?
West Ham.
Of course, bro. What are we talking about?
West Ham, yeah.
Proper West Ham, bro.
Sometimes you got to check. Defoe don't support a team, remember?
West Ham's coming out Arsenal's bogey team, man. For the past couple of seasons, man. Can't do them over.
I've always had a good time now. Always.
Oh. Were you in the team that won the first game at the Emirates?
And the last game at the Highbury.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
You did,
etched,
didn't it?
Yeah. Etched in history.
Yeah.
They did. You lot beat us 1-0 that game.
When Alan Pardew and Arsene Wenger started scrapping, were you thinking, I've got to back it?
I didn't really see it until Match of the Day, to be honest. He heard about it after the game, but when the game was going on, I was so engrossed in the game. Man playing against Thierry, bruv.
Can I be honest though? You can't hit Wenger. You have to hit Pardew. Even if you're Anton.
Oh yeah. Even if you play for West Ham, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's not true. Pardew's cool, isn't he?
No, yeah, I like Pardew.
Yeah, man, we like
Pardew. Wenger's a legend.
I don't care. He's a legend to him, to him, not to me or us.
And to you, bro.
He's a legend to Premier League.
Can't hit Wenger, bro. He's a Premier League legend.
So what, if he's fighting my manager,
yeah,
I'm going to then
get smacked. But Pardew's not really like your manager.
Mate, he had one of my favourite teams. Nigel Iheanacho. He had that great team. Young Anton.
Which West Ham manager can he beat up? Like
Big Sam?
You don't mind.
I would have.
So Steve, you got a West Ham all 11, best 11. Who's your West Ham manager? And who's managing that team then? Because it's not Pardew.
Hello, in my lifetime, Pardew's second to Slav, probably.
So who's right, number one then?
All right, that's his answer.
Moyes is alive right now, you know.
Red net.
And Moyes just won the European trophy.
Nah, but you ask, it's just, yeah.
All the fans are going to say the fans dead under Moyes.
It's dead.
It's but not then, though, but that's the funny thing. I get it, but I'm watching it and it's not though.
A lot of the fans say it. They're used to seeing like a team on the front foot.
When?
When we had Slaven? Yeah, when we had his
my team.
My team
was like that. We had no fear.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah.
In the Championship or in the Prem?
No, in the Prem. We had no fear.
I don't think this team's got fear.
I don't think they fear anyone.
No, when we go, so when we get 1-0 up, rather than go and kill a game, we don't kill it. Like there's certain times we should be killer and we stick to the same thing. When
that's
it's working,
just a quality,
it looks great.
That's a lack of quality up front though, but I think you lot on the front foot.
No, I see what you lot are saying though.
We watch it every week, innit? So
I don't think you're a pessimistic team.
I have this argument with fans. I say, listen, we've won a trophy first time in however many years. he's one of
all of the years.
One of three managers. He's one of three managers to win a trophy at the club. Would you rather someone come and play unbelievable football but don't win nothing,
and the manager go
and potentially get relegated?
You say, pardon, say that again.
So say that again, Jody. But it's not entirely true.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Chill out.
Or do we put up with this football
and get some trophies?
And get trophies.
Or one trophy and maybe finish seventh.
3 years
mediocre.
In Europe in a row.
I've always said, I think, for me personally as a West Ham fan, I think he's been fantastic. I get the football on the eye. I get and understand it because I grew up in the football club and I've seen what's gone before. However, I'm sitting here boasting because we got a trophy and others haven't, and he's brought us to that. So you got to respect him.
And you got big wins in the last few years.
Oh, mate, some wicked... mate, I'm not... Listen, you ask me who if I'm building my all-time what manager I'm having, it just wouldn't be Moyes. But am I grateful what he's done? Does he deserve to still be there? I still think he does, even though people would let him go.
You sound like you prefer to be like a little plucky team that plays decent football, attacking here and there, but gets battered a lot of the time, can nick a result against a big team, rather than being a solid unit, good defensive unit that's challenging for Europe.
But why are you making it black and white? It doesn't have to be one way or the other. You just...
In their history, it has been.
Because 4 years ago when we had Slaven, we done the same thing what we're doing now. We scalped big teams, played amazing football. The difference
amazing.
Is...
Amazing.
Yeah, we had Payet. We played some amazing football.
You had an amazing player.
Which made us play amazing football. Noble was playing the best he's ever played. Should have got in the England team. He was playing amazing.
Payet don't get in my team.
Oh, wow.
Whoa, wow. In my the 11 I played with, where does he play?
We're going to get there, though.
Boys, there's something you missed, though.
Go on.
Anton said he wouldn't back Big Sam. And then he said, whew. So I think there's a problem there. I just want to get to the bottom of it.
Thank you,
Jordy.
Man, don't miss nothing.
What's going on with Big Sam?
Man signed Roger Johnson instead of me.
Oh,
that's terrible.
I haven't heard Roger Johnson's name.
He is the one who did Eduardo.
No, that was Matt Taylor.
Taylor.
Oh, Roger Johnson was at Birmingham though. He was okay.
Just play against him in the youth team. He was all right.
So who was that at?
At West Ham. I wanted to come back to West Ham. Made it very clear. I wanted to come back to West Ham. Man signed Roger Johnson and not me, man.
Man signed Roger Johnson.
Have you spoke to him since?
No.
At the time, though, it would have been good to have some players that were West Ham fans playing for us, though, man. Like at the time, the identity of West Ham had gone at the time, so it was good. Would have been good to have him back.
I don't want to date this episode too much, but I was watching TNT Sports this weekend, and your brother was wearing a hat.
I'm glad we know. And then they tried to say on air because it was cold. This doesn't feel right.
The Peaky Blinders hat.
The Peaky Blinders hat.
Yeah.
It's my dad's. It's actually my dad's.
Okay, I'll
make that. He put a picture in the family group saying thanks, Dad.
All right.
He jacked the hat.
Yeah.
That is amazing defending. Roger Johnson could never.
Roger Johnson could never do wear that. A hat today. So I hear you.
You seriously don't think Payet gets in your team?
Oh, God.
No. Ahead of who?
So who would you have put there? Just so we have an understanding.
We played 4-4-2.
Yeah.
Nigel Iwobi.
Nigel, Hayden.
Yeah. Right, let me help you.
We played Yossi Benayoun, yeah. May Everton. Where did you get him?
What the hell?
For the way that we played.
he went Yossi Benayoun.
For the way that we played.
Payet goes anywhere in them positions. You could even take out Hayden, and I love him, and put Nigel deeper and Payet there.
You lost your mind.
Okay, mate.
Hayden was our most important player.
Yeah, it's true.
He was our most important player.
So how about Everton? Because there's no way Everton got.
The way that we
played and how direct he was, and how direct we were, he was fantastic.
Is this two strikers then?
Exactly.
This is that beautiful football we heard so much about. Matthew Everton.
It was beautiful, bro. Like,
wait, hold on.
You want to hear the strikers?
You got to give me two. Who starts?
No, do you want to hear the strikers? Yeah,
no, tell us the strikers. Give them.
We need the strikers. We had Carlos Tevez.
Meedy.
Oh, stop.
Ignore him,
Oh, it's him.
He had it preloaded.
No matter what you said.
Nah, he done well at West Ham.
He was all right at West Ham, boys.
What are you talking about? He saved us from getting relegated. He was unbelievable.
Oh, because he saved you, because he scored a goal. It means he was unbelievable.
Tevez, Teddy Sheringham.
Old Teddy Sheringham, by the way.
What do you mean? He got player of the year a year before.
Did he old?
Not the year before. What is wrong with you?
Boys, let him land.
Dean Ashton.
He's got no name.
Dean Ashton.
Unreal.
One of the coldest ever.
Cole.
Yeah.
We had
cold.
Bobby Zamora and Marlon Harewood.
Poor man's Henry.
We're an attacking
Bobby
team.
Bobby Zamora's different gravy.
How do you keep them all happy?
You got to speak to footballers that play with him and tell you about Bobby
Zamora. Bobby was cold. Bobby was cold.
With the greatest of respects then, Harewood and Cole can sit this one out.
What?
Excuse me? Harewood in his first year.
Harewood was a problem, though.
Harewood in his first year in the Prem was fire.
Unreal,
you know?
Bro.
Anton, you still haven't given me two, though.
What are you talking about?
You've got to give me two. You've got to start two. Did 4-4-2.
Okay, go on. Who's the two?
You gave us Yossi, Ben Ayoub, and Everton, all these guys. Give me two.
They didn't play together a lot, but Tevez and Dean Ashton probably were the two.
Oh, that would be cold.
Dean Ashton was cold.
Ashton was different, mate. That injury hurt me.
Listen, you're an Arsenal fan. You could do with him now. Trust me.
Even with
he would help you try and win the league. Try.
Hey, Miles, we ain't got a comeback. We just got excited one day.
I'm trying to think. Was he better than Bettner? I'm trying to think.
Oh my God.
No.
Bettner was doing bits.
No, Bettner was doing bits. No,
you didn't see Bettner in Rezzies. I saw him at 16. Baller.
In Rezzies.
Dan, your table's finished.
Nah, don't disrespect Bettner.
You ain't going to lunch.
Don't disrespect Bettner.
Because I was going to say Olivier Giroud, but you know he's clear than Dean Ashton, isn't it? Olivier Giroud.
Ashton could have been better than Giroud, though.
Could have, but he's nowhere near.
Giroud's still doing assists to this
injury.
Day.
Due to a bad injury.
Even without the injuries, he was nowhere near Giroud.
A bit ability-wise, Dean Ashton's different, man.
Before he got injured, he was going like Fergie. He was on Fergie's radar. And special players are on Fergie's. That's longevity.
Wait, did you speak to Fergie?
English. You don't buy bad English.
Yeah, Bobby Zamora and Tevez was good.
I love Bobby
Phil
Zamora.
Jones.
At Fulham, that Europa run.
Had to do
What's
it.
Bobby Zamora's story, man? I feel like he's mental on a night out.
He's funny, man. If you know what, if someone asks any squad that he's been in and he'll ask who's the funniest or the loudest and he's in that squad, he's getting named. Fact.
Where's he from?
He's East, isn't he?
From East London.
Senrab. Yeah,
Senrab. Yeah, Senrab. Good player.
Underrated. Side of Partiers. Who's in your
For
team?
For who?
Partiers.
Partiers.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a word.
I was in it.
Ravers.
I was definitely in it.
Oh, you were in it. Yeah.
Yeah, me.
I heard about you.
Yeah, me.
Oh, you was in that video too.
He went
heartbroken.
The way it was patterned, because like, obviously expectations were high on you from young, especially because of your brother, because your last name, and because you were coming through the West Ham Academy and that. Did you feel like maybe you felt a little bit like you could get away with a bit more? Because it felt like you were out a lot.
No, not that I could get away with it more. I was the one easier to be named. I was the easiest one to be named because of it.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
But at that age, I just didn't care, man. Like, we had a squad that just didn't care. Like, we went out, seriously, 4 or 5 times a week. When we had Saturday games, we was out 4 or 5 times
your
a week. Alan Pardew.
he was like
Alan Pardew.
No wonder you loved him.
But he was with you. Our first year in the Premier League, I swear down, 4 or 5 times a week we were out. Definite. And there was at least 7 of us from the squad out.
Hmm? Your theory about going out, some people need that.
No, you do. You need it. You need it. It's a good camaraderie. You need that. When the team's going out together, chopping gal and that it builds.
Allegedly.
Trust me, I heard crazy things.
No, it was.
That QPR dressing room.
Ooh.
See?
What? Yeah. Wait, we'll get to Sunderland. What he was doing in Sunderland.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
Ooh.
Dangerous.
It's almost like every club I've been at. It's like, hurrah.
I don't know where it is, Anton. I don't know where
it
is.
You know what?
He's a glue guy. No, you need a man like him in the dressing room.
I swear down, though. Like, so I've been involved in relegation battles, never been relegated, and part of it has been going out. Fact.
Does it prove my theory, bro?
I swear down. A lot of togetherness.
Social.
Is it? Yeah.
It depends on the characters, though.
I swear down, right? Back in the day, it wasn't a case of, you respected and rated players that could play.
Yeah.
But you see, when you're in a fight, you only saw that on a night out. Not physically, but you see, like, some people are different with a drink and without a drink. You see the real them.
Yeah.
And sometimes you gravitate to that person a bit more that you never did in a dressing room because you've seen different sides of them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, for instance...
Give me a player, then. Give me one
of those. Luke Chadwick. Boring as anything in a dressing room. Get a drink in him. Different guy. Different guy. Steed Malbronk.
Yeah, flipping hell.
Silence of the Lambs in the dressing room. Didn't say a word. Get a drink in him. Different guy.
I thought he was eating people. Silence of the Lambs. Cannibal.
You respect a man for being a cannon, though, man. Someone that can go for it. You get me? If a man can go for it, you're like, nah.
Well, we heard when QPR had their problems, Nathan told us that all the players hated each other. They were never going out together, and they got relegated twice, so.
I weren't there that year. The year that I was there, we stayed up.
Because you went out?
He weren't part of that group that went out.
Oh, who was?
Bro, me.
Of course.
Me, yeah,
seriously.
Adele would pop in and out of it.
Of course he would.
Cold.
He was at a party. Whether he was at your party or not, yeah. He was at a party.
Sean Wright Phillips.
What? Of course.
No way.
Of course.
Yeah, Sean Wright Phillips.
He's a yardie, man. Come on, man. The Jamaican.
I can't see him inside.
Did you ever rave with Joey Barton?
No, I didn't rave with Joey. I got on with him, to be fair, in the dressing room. I got on with him.
He did mention your brother, so hey. The people that he was cool with. So yeah,
I got on with Joey in the dressing room. He's like, as we're seeing now, he's passionate about. If he's passionate about something, he don't let go of it.
When the fun stops, stop, man.
I can make a confession, yeah? So,
you're in a safe space.
It's a safe space. Like, when I first was aware of you, I see you playing football and you came through the ranks and stuff like that, yeah. I honestly thought you was only playing because of nepotism. Like, because you was Rio's brother. Like, I thought, like an industry plant. Like, he busts you. Because I'm saying, this guy don't even care about football. Like,
how do you know that?
Because I thought he was a singer. No. No, I saw him, when I first met him, he was in the R&B group. So I thought that was his passion. And I thought, so when I didn't even know you played football like that. So when I saw you playing football, yeah, I'm saying, you know, like, I was resentful a bit, because it's like, he don't even care about this, because Rio's brother just made him play for West Ham. And that. But then afterwards, I started watching you play, and I was like, oh.
He could have been in damage.
His R&B tunes must have been about
playing
football.
So, Muggs, set the scene. How did you find out that Anton was an R&B singer?
I got called into a studio session in, where was he, like, Pentonville. I can't remember what the studio's called. It was, like, just opposite the prison, Pentonville. You know the studio I'm talking about, innit? So, of course. So, I've gone in there, and then I just heard, like, some sultry tones coming from one room. And then I was like, oh, what's going on here? And I could see them riffing. Ooh.
No, 112.
112 in. Yeah. But it was a five-piece, innit? Three men.
I weren't actually in the group, to be honest with you.
Two girls, three men is a bit top.
Well, and let him finish and then
finish and I'll come.
So you're hearing the...
Whoa!
Pause.
No, obviously, so then I walked in and I interrupted their session and then that was it. But you was in the group. You was with them.
I was there.
No, he was doing a feature. He's saying it's a feature.
Oh!
Featuring Anton Ferdinand.
I grew up with him, but Marvin Humes in JLS is a friend of mine, and he was in a group before JLS called VS, and that's the group you're talking about. I went to a session that they were doing because I used to like to sing.
Why did everyone do that? Why did you word it like that?
Used to.
Why can't you say I used to sing?
No, yeah, I used to enjoy singing. Like, I had a group of friends that we used to go around each other's house in this vibe and put on tunes and just sing it down.
Can you do a little bit now?
No, right? Right?
Come on, man. It's a little bit. I'll come with you. Mario. Baby, I just don't get it.
God.
You enjoy being hurt.
Hey, I know you smelled the perfume, the makeup on your shirt.
I'll tell you what, when you like do one of your live shows again, I'll come there and I'll do it there.
Situation.
Yeah?
Right.
But it was like we would sing, we would vibe. And I just wanted to see what they were doing in the studio, because Marvin's like very creative. So I went to see what they were doing and how they were going about their stuff. And I went in there. And then, yeah, you must have walked in when sitting on the sofa just vibing.
You know that I've told everybody I've ever met that you was in the...
So fast forward. So you knew he was a footballer by then?
No.
Oh, so you didn't even know he was a baller then?
No. This is to my surprise when I saw him on the pitch.
So when you saw him on TV?
Don't you get it?
Yeah.
When I saw him on the TV, I'm thinking, this ain't even where his heart's at.
You just don't get it.
This ain't even his passion.
Do you remember Marks coming into that session?
No.
Okay. Because you stored a guy and said, we saw him on TV playing football. I said, that's the guy in the studio. I don't think I have that kind of recall.
The vocals must have been all right then.
Yeah, facts.
But do you know what it is? A lot of people think that, though. I only played because of Rio. A lot of people actually, you speak to people, until they watched me, it was, oh yeah, he's only there because of Rio. Mm. That was a common theme for me growing up.
Do you feel like you had to earn respect? Because I'm not even going to lie, subconsciously, I probably went through that with you, like just watching you from the outside looking in and obviously the relationship with your brother and then getting to a point where I've come to the realisation, oh, he's good. Like, he's decent. He can
play. Got a story to back this up then. So you made your debut against Leyton Orient. Like, not.
Oh,
yeah, exactly. I played that game, right? So I think it might have been. Jamal my Campbell debut. Rice. Yeah, boy. Ooh. He had a torrid time. I ain't going to lie, right?
No, he did.
It's bad.
Yeah, I was terrible. I'm going to say it. I was terrible.
It's bad. But, so then I thought, hang on. Is this because of A, B, and C? But I know how hard it is to get into a first team. So they're not going to do that. I know that.
I heard the fans saying it as well.
Yeah, all the fans were saying,
what?
Killing him.
You got to remember, they said that about Frank Lampard as
first
well.
My first time with the first team, by the way. First ever game with the first team, that was as well.
But to his credit, killed it after that. Like proved everyone wrong. And I think you should have got England caps. 100%. So, like, definitely.
Jordy's out.
You gone, Jordy?
What? What? I just threw and put the mic down.
Jordy, there's just different ways to do stuff. Jordy, I just don't get it.
Right, see ya.
Bye, Jordy.
What was that period like? Was you knocking on the door? Because I do remember, like, little rumblings of being, should be in contention.
Under 21, you played regular under 21.
I got, like, I think from 19, I was in the 21s from being 19. Well, I might have been 18 when I made my debut for the under 21s. But yeah, I was ever present in the 21s. I just came through in a period where there was top centre backs. Mm. You know, if I'm coming through now, I'm rubbing my hands. Mm. Like now, if I'm coming through now, I'm looking at any centre back coming through now. They're going rah. Like,
Jared Branthwaite though, beast.
I've got a chance. Do you know what I mean? Exactly. I've got a chance. Whereas if you're an attacking player, you're thinking, oh, where am I going to get in now? Do you know what I mean? But my time was defenders. When I first started playing for the 21s, there was Sol Campbell, Rio, Ledley, JT, Carragher, Woodgate,
Dawson.
And then after that was Dawson, Cahill. I was on the 21 team sheet before them.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I remember. Number 5.
You know, yeah, I was on it before them. They just became more consistent and I wasn't. That was the problem, like with me personally and probably one of the biggest reasons why I do a lot of mentoring now for younger players is so they don't make the mistakes I made. Like I relaxed. But the reason why I relaxed was because coming out of Rio's shadow was such a big, big thing for me. I almost felt like, yes, I've done it. Because I've had that from 9 years old to playing in the Premier League and people going, oh yeah, that's Anton Ferdinand, not Rio's brother anymore. So it was like, it was such a big achievement for me. And you got to remember, being a West Ham fan, coming through at West Ham, I'm being compared to the person who has always been compared to arguably England's best ever centre back in that football club, in Bobby Moore. Which, because I'm a West Ham fan, it puts even more pressure. So it's not just my brother. We're talking about the greatest player ever to play for West Ham and potentially for England. You know, the only captain to lift the World Cup.
Was there any time in your career or while you was like coming through, did you doubt yourself and say, you know, I don't think I can do this because of the pressure? Is there times you just thought, you know, I don't even want to do this anymore because there's so much pressure on you?
Yeah, before I got a YTS, I didn't think I was going to get it because I was having a bad, bad time. And this is the only time in my career where Rio being my brother actually really helped me. Was I was going through a growth spurt from, you get schoolboy forms from 14 to 16, and I was going through a growth spurt. So I was like Bambi on ice, I couldn't kick a ball properly, I couldn't move properly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, for instance, you know, like to put into context, a golfer who's used to, he's got a swing and he's used to a certain certain club and the height of the club, if you shorten the club or you lengthen the club, their swing's gone. It's the same as a footballer going to kick a ball. When your legs get longer, you scuff the ground more than you kick the ball. So your technique's off. I was really, really bad and I didn't think I was going to get a YTS. And I remember saying to my dad, I said, Dad, I don't want to do it no more. He's like, what do you want to do? And I said, oh, I want to pursue singing, is what I said to him.
Right? That's how you're meant to word it. Honestly, I want to sing.
he said to me, he said, Anton, listen to me. I went to your study, he went, you can do singing after football, you can't do football after singing. So I suggest you go with football first, and then if you don't do it, then do singing. So I said, right, Dad, I listen to you. And
you didn't listen.
You didn't listen to him, yeah. For
where's
real.
The singing?
Where's the singing? No albums. Where's the Spotify? Where's the
stage? We'll give you the
where's
stage,
the stream?
Love?
Where's the stream, the dog?
And then all of a sudden, West Ham took me on the basis of they watched Rio go through a similar process of a growth spurt and struggled for a period. And it was like, if we don't see Anton out of this, we're stupid, basically, because we've seen what Rio's become. Let's see what Anton can become. And that changed my mindset, because I then started to understand, you know what? I will get a chance, you know, based off being Rio's brother, but I have to be ready when that chance comes.
Say you just played for Arsenal, Spurs, and you was none of that pressure of being a West Ham fan, none of that pressure essentially of, oh, how is he going to play under the West Ham thing like his brother? Is he going to take the route to Leeds and all of that? Just you're at Spurs. How would your career have gone in your eyes, do you believe?
I think I still would have got all the comparisons. No matter where I went, the comparisons were there. No matter where I went, even before I retired in St Mirren, and I had, what, 18 years in the game already, the comparisons were still there.
Mm-hmm. I know the comparisons have been there. I'm thinking about the pressure, though, because obviously you're a West Ham fan.
Potentially, the pressure, obviously less pressure, because I put pressure myself being a West Ham fan, 100% I did. And Steve-O will tell you, I played like that. You know, I wore my heart on my sleeve when playing for West Ham. I wore my sleeve playing for every club. But I played like a fan. You know, I was emotional at times. Not too emotional where I got sent off, but I was emotional at times when we lost to, who was it? Charlton, 4-0, when in the second year of the Premier League, where we nearly went down and we had to beat Man United at Old Trafford, last game of the season to stay up. We lost 4-0, and I was terrible. Like three out of four were my fault. But after the game, the fan come out at me in the dressing room. Like, I remember Alan Kirby saying, oh, we got to do better next week. And I just went, what? Got to do better next week. I said, that's all I've heard from you since you've come to this club. You've got to do better. I said, and let people know. Like, tell us. Like, let us know. Tell us. And then for about 10 minutes, I just turned to the boys and I was hammering the boys, just saying, if you can't take hammering from this fella here, don't play for this football club. You can't play in front of these fans. Like, for about 10 minutes, I went.
What was the results of that after, though?
Like, We started winning. But
who was in the, just so to have some understanding, who was in that West Ham team when you was having to talk to them?
Teddy, Nobes.
You're shouting at Teddy like that?
Teddy, Nobes.
And he didn't say nothing back?
Teddy, Nobes, Marlon. I was gone. I was like,
do you
gone.
Think you gained respect from them older boys that day?
Do you know what? I didn't care. I didn't care at the time. Like, I really didn't care at the time, because
he was looking as a fan. I don't want to go down.
Yeah. Like, and not just that. I was very much someone who I wasn't someone who went into a club and only spoke to the players. I speak to, like, the cleaners.
Yeah.
I speak to the chef, the ones who ain't on bonuses, and they're relying on us.
Yeah.
To stay in the Premier League so they can keep their job and keep their money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like, and I'd have conversations with these people, and they'll be like, if you go down, I could get the chop. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, rah, all of that's building up, and then in that dressing room, I just let the boys have it.
Have you always been vocal in the dressing room?
Or yeah, always. And I think that's been some of my problem, and I've learned later on in life that there's a time to speak and a time not to, you know? And I think sometimes I was always that guy. People would chat in a dressing room. People would chat, this is wrong, that's wrong, da, 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 and it would eat away at me. And then something would happen in the dressing room, and I'd go, bang, 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 this is why it is, because this, everything that people have been saying that I believe in that could be true, I'll be the one that'll go and say it.
Mm. She just kept writing music, man.
Was it a problem with managers or with
100%.
Teammates?
100%. Steve Bruce didn't like it. Alan Kirbishley didn't like it.
No.
You know, like, if you look at my history in the media-wise, like...
Marcus Rashford doesn't like it. You know that celebration was for you.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably, but... In terms of Sancho, I just want to see people treated the same, not differently, in my opinion. And I had this conversation with Rio on Vibe with Five when we debated it. And people were saying he just needs to say sorry. Why should he have to say sorry if he believes he's right? Just to play. they're a different generation now. They're not our generation.
Because there's rules, and that's the boss. If he wants to play,
I get that. I understand it. And I apologize to Steve Bruce because me and Steve Bruce had a massive argument where, like, in the gym, it went off. Like, he tried to say who's gonna want you with your mentality, and that's like, you can't question a footballer's mentality. You can't question my mentality. You can if you want to, but for me personally, don't do that. It's a liberty.
But would you ever went to social media and said, "Oh, the gaffer's chatting"?
When he said mentality, boom, boom, boom. What did he mean? That you were too?
I just took it as he was like he was. What questioning was
the context
my makeup
of the argument though? Why was he all arguing?
So there was rumors of me going to Italy, AC Milan or Napoli or something from
sounds like a good rumor.
From Sunderland.
What?
That's a great rumor.
That's a dream.
I had played all pre-season. And I was fit, but I came off the last game with a slight hamstring injury, and we were playing Hoffenheim a week before the season started, and it was just the day before the Hoffenheim game. But I was fit. I just had a niggle in my hamstring, and I was thinking, you know what? I need to be fit for the start of the season, not for tomorrow's game. And when I came in on the Friday, the physio, and I'd done nothing all week, the physio went to me, Anton, we're going to take you outside and we're going to run you to make sure you're ready for tomorrow. And I was like, what? Like, I've still got pain. Why are you running me? The season starts next week. Why are you running me? Like, in my head, I'm thinking, what are you doing? Like, so I just said, like, I got to look after myself. He took it, I was meaning I got to look after myself in case I move. But I was, in my head, I was going, I need to look after myself for the start of the season. He went into the manager's office, said this, relayed it back. Next thing you know, manager's coming in, the assistant manager come into the gym. Because I said to
the assistant,
Eric Black. So I said to the physio, okay, no problem. So in my head, I was going, okay, no problem. Let me play the game. I'm going to go outside, do the warm-up, and just walk straight in. It's still hurting me. And make sure I'm fit for next week. Yeah, and maybe start training Tuesday, Wednesday, following week, ready for the game, for the first game of the season. Eric Black comes in. Anton, why don't you want to play tomorrow? I said, pardon? I said, who told you that? He went, oh. Physio said you got to look after yourself. What do you mean by that? I went, what it says, I need to look after myself. He went, oh, what's all this about you going to Italy? He went, the gaffer don't know about it. I said, well, if the gaffer don't know, that's nothing to do with me. The club know, because the club have spoke to me about it. He went, well, the gaffer don't know. I said, that's nothing to do with me. He went, that's not the reason why you don't want to play. I said, no. I said, if you got to know me, you wouldn't even actually ask me that question. If you knew me as a person, you wouldn't even ask me that question because you know I want to play every game. He went, so that's not the reason why I don't want to play. I went, here's the question. I said, would you rather me be fit for tomorrow for the first game of the season? He went, first game of the season. I said, so there's your answer then. That's why. He went, okay, no problem. Left. 5 minutes later, Steve Bruce come in, asked the same question. Yeah, I was like, what? Like, I said to him as well, if you got to forget being my manager, forget Anton the footballer, if you got to know me, Anton the person, you wouldn't even be in here asking this question. And then he went up, then he mentioned Italy and the teams, and then he just flipping lost the plot. He went, who's going to want you with your flipping mentality? Who's going to fuck you like that? And when he said that, I just saw red. I just said, who are you talking to, you fat so-and-so? And I just flipping up. We went at it.
You wouldn't have done it publicly, though.
Pardon?
You wouldn't have done it publicly.
It was in front of people.
No, I'm saying you wouldn't use social media platforms like that.
But I'm not a social. I didn't grow up with social media. It's
that's
different.
The way they communicate.
It's though. The way that it's different.
And like, also, you're assuming he wins this altercation because ultimately, does Steve? Do you win this?
So then he sends me back to London. So he's like, off back to London, and I'm going. No, he went to me. How much do you want to leave this club? How much do you want? What do you want? 500 grand? Is that what you want? I'll sign that check myself. To get rid of you.
Steve Bruce. Yeah. He's got a cheek.
No, but he was, this is what he was saying. And
900 games, mate. What are you talking about? Huh? 900 games.
No, I'm just saying, the team he had, he needs him.
And then, but by this time, he had brought other players in and they were playing ahead of me.
Like, Nedham.
No, not Nedham. But they were playing ahead of me. Shout out Nedham, bro. Shout out Nedham. They were playing ahead of me. Sometimes, like, teams were getting named, and I'm looking around and people thinking, right, like, how is he not playing? You know when you can feel it?
Yeah.
People that are playing as you, they look embarrassed.
Who's one of the people ahead of you?
So you had Titus Bramble, you had...
Don't touch Titus. Shout out my brother Titus.
Michael Turner.
Michael Turner. Oh,
When you were getting dropped for these games, did you feel like you knew why?
There was no conversation. I knew there was a personal problem. And I had actually gone and asked him prior to all of this happening. I asked, look, there's obviously a problem. Like, let's chat about it. Let's put it on the table and let's move on. Nothing's the matter, son. Nothing.
Passive aggressive.
So he would just say because of the styles of the defender.
He didn't even say that. But I never really played. I never played five games on a bounce for him.
Is he?
And I'm someone, I need games. I need to continuously play.
Centre backs do.
Yeah, of course.
He sent me back. He's going to me. Oh, what do you want? 500 grand to leave his club? I'll sign it myself. I'll sign it check myself. And I went up. I was calm and I went, Gaffer, we both know I'm on a bit more than that. So if you upped it, I might think about it. And he was like, oh, no. And he went, oh, you cheeky bastard. He went back to London. Get out of my club. And I walked up to him and I put my hand out and went, you're manager anyway. And I walked out.
Ooh.
Is he manager?
You double down.
Because I always think Steve Bruce, all their man there, they're the only people that get sacked and then just get another job. Is he or not?
Got to have something. He's not.
Listen, as much as I didn't get on with him, he's a good manager. My management, terrible. But in terms of manager, in terms of going on the pitch and knowing what you got to do, he was good.
Did you see his speech once upon a time? Where he started talking about, oh, maybe if I'm not a good manager or... Do you remember for Newcastle? Yeah, I don't think he believes what you're saying right now. But it's not.
He's a good manager. He's been battered a few places.
He's been battered, boy.
Newcastle. No, I mean, like the way people talked about him and the way people treated him. He's a good manager, though.
Listen, I never went out on the pitch not knowing what I was doing.
See, there, that's good management. So who's your favourite manager then of all time?
Alan Pardew.
Yeah, because he gave you all that what you're looking for.
Yeah, and at 19, he treated me like an adult, which is what I needed. Because if he would have treated me like a kid, I would have rebelled. Yeah. Fact. I'm earning good money. You can't treat me like a kid. That's what I would have been like. I would have rebelled. But even with going out, he used to come to me. I remember he pulled me in the office one time and went, Anton, I know what you're doing. Because I can smell the alcohol daily. I can smell it. Wow. So I know what you're doing.
Intervention.
You must have been going home.
He went, if that's what you want to do, it's fine. Do it.
I'll join you.
That's why he loved him.
He said, but the minute it starts to affect your football, your training, and your football, when you're playing your games, I'm going to hurt you.
And I know you've, so since these times here, you have grown and gone on. So looking back now, you must know, without all of that partying and drinking, you definitely get in the England team.
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure that we do know that.
If I wouldn't have relaxed when I come out of Rio Shadow, if it wasn't, like, if I just would have gone, okay, I've done it, on to the next one, let's go.
Do you start in that team, though?
What, England?
Who was there at that time?
No, probably not if everyone's fit, but he not deserves a cap.
So you're in the camp? You never did no cap. Tournaments with them, did you?
I just missed out on the 2006.
Was that was Euro?
The World
that's
Cup.
Euros.
World Cup.
So where's 2000? Oh, that's Germany and all that one, that all so over
what,
the place.
What tournament did England miss out on? Is it 2008?
Yeah. Did we miss out on one?
So that you might have been a part of that one if they didn't miss out.
But I just missed out on the 2006 one because I had a double hernia operation after the FA Cup final. Wow.
He also missed a penalty in the under 21 semi-final of the Euros in 07.
Come on, Tika.
He scored one as well.
I scored one and missed.
It went round.
What do you mean? It went round.
We went back round. Everyone scored.
It was 13-12.
Yeah.
Everyone scored.
13-12.
What was the dressing room like after when you missed?
Oh.
Tired.
Did anyone say anything?
You can't.
What time did you finish?
The first one,
I remember we was playing Holland. It was in the quarters or the semis. Of the Euros for the 21s. They had Drentner, Babel, Donk. They had a team. Mm.
Your team was better, though.
Our team was good, man. Yeah. Our team was good.
Who's your pairing? Who's your other centre-back with you?
I had a
groin injury throughout the tournament, so I was in and out.
So who was the two centre backs though, other than just you?
It was normally me and Stephen Taylor, or me and Michael Dawson.
Was any good Taylor? Because he had a long career.
Yeah, he was good. He was just like.
It's decent at Hull.
You need Hull. He didn't play for Hull.
Yeah, no, I'm testing you. Well, congratulations, novel. Congratulations, Anton. Congratulations.
Hey, Mars is a seasoned pro, you know.
Carry on.
You passed.
At Newcastle, he was good.
Yes.
But you need to chat to him all the time because if he saw red, instant red card.
Is it?
Really? Oh, yeah, yeah. He done it in the playoffs against Germany, in Germany at Leverkusen. he got sent off. We beat them at home 1-0. Leighton Baines scored a goal from about 40 yards in the top, put it in the top corner.
Hero.
And then we went away to Bayer Leverkusen. They had Gomez up front and we were playing. Like, it was a tough game. Like, it was on top. It was like a derby. But nations, obviously, the rivalry between England and Germany is massive. And then he got sent off, went down 10 men. Micah Richards, me and Micah come centre back. Me and Micah play centre back. That's the game when one of the players called me a monkey. It got caught on TV.
Wow.
Where, like, I shielded the ball out, and I must have, like, boyed him off. And I said, move or something. Shielded the ball out, and then I'm jogging up the pitch, and he's run past me, and he goes, ooh, ooh, monkey.
What player?
Aaron, what's his name?
Werder Bremen.
Yeah.
An English name?
Yeah.
Yeah, Aaron.
He was roommates with Kevin Prince on that trip.
Seriously?
Yeah.
So, oh, wow. Kevin.
So, like,
Aaron Hunt,
that's it.
That's his name.
He's an Aaron Hunt, he is. But I'm like jogging out, and he says that part, and you know the cameras pan on, like, go on to you and pan on you when you do something. So, like, it panned on me. As I heard it, I go to go after him, and I think, shit, I'm in a game. I can't do that. I'm in a game. I'll get him after. And I turn to Micah, and I go, Micah, he just called me a monkey, you know? And that gets picked up on TV, me saying that to him, saying that to Micah. And then Theo Walcott come on, and bang two.
Mm, what a performance.
Bang two. It was sick. And everyone who knows me, I love a joke. I love to celebrate. I didn't celebrate no goals. I didn't celebrate nothing because I was vexed, right? After the game done, everyone celebrating, I jogged straight down the tunnel. No, I said to Kevin Prince Botan, I said, see that fight? He's a racist boss. He went, no, he's going, no, he's not. He's my roommate. I said, he called me a monkey. He's racist. And I said, right, cool, no problem. I said, I'll see you in the tunnel. And I jogged down the tunnel. But because it had been on TV, all the security at the FA already had seen it.
Yeah, they already clocked it.
So they were watching me. So then I'm down the tunnel by Leverkusen. The tunnel's like that. It's like on a slant. And then as you get to the bottom of it, it opens out into a massive foyer. And I'm at the bottom of the foyer, crouched down, waiting for this guy to come off the thingy. All of a sudden, security just picked me off my feet, boy, and put me in the dressing room. And I smashed up the whole dressing room.
So hang on. He calls you a monkey, and then your response is to get in the corner.
You're an idiot. Huh?
What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
You're an idiot.
And then you missed the penalty.
And then I missed the penalty.
Yeah.
13-12, you know. 13-12, and I'd missed the penalty in the FA Cup this season before. So I'd missed that penalty in the final against Liverpool. Then we went to the Euros and I scored the first one. And I remember, don't do this, kids, all right? Don't do this. I remember going back to the huddle going, yes. I said, yes. Last year's out of my head. Like, boom. I've scored now. Boom. Little did I know, it came back round and I hit the bar.
Kids, you should do that, though. If you scored that penalty, just you buried it. Now it's a new trauma. Just but the old trauma's gone. you had a blissful five minutes.
But then, like, I look like an idiot in front. I look like an idiot. Like, I'm there going, yeah, boom, boom. It comes round. I'm not ready. Like, what's going on?
Were you not ready?
Yeah. No, I was, but I hit the bar.
Someone asked, what was the dressing room like? Yeah, obviously, there's a time and place for everything. People, like, when you lose a penalty shootout, is on the losing side, is there ever anyone who comes in the dressing room and just says on some, yosh.
No way. Not like, pennies.
It is lottery. Penalties are lottery.
Nah, man. No, if you practice. You practice.
With the pressure. You can practice as much as you want. When the pressure's there,
so then what
different.
If you're mad with someone, then what happens? Is everyone just quiet?
Yeah.
You can't be silent, mad. It's penalties.
Silent in there.
If someone like messed up.
Yeah, but you got the pens though.
If you got beaten in a rap battle and you got had up.
Yeah.
Man spoke to by every member of your family, you're screwing, and someone comes and goes, what are you feeling? What are you doing?
They might get punched up, but I need to hear that though. I need to know that. You get what I'm trying to say? Like, you gotta take accountability.
Go on Twitter, it's gonna tell you, bro. It's there.
But subconsciously you know it already.
So Ange, you don't think the people that practice the pens more score more.
100% you have that. But I see Bear Man.
Oh yeah, happens.
I see Bear Man take penalties. Like for the FA Cup final, there was Bear Man on a training ground taking penalties. Mm. And when it came to the game,
thing, they're not on
they weren't on it. I had to, like, we were searching for, I was number five. I didn't want a penalty. I'll be honest, I didn't want one.
See, is he man hiding then?
Well, I didn't want one. And I was honest with you. I don't want one. Yeah.
So who wasn't hiding?
I ended up stepping up because Pars couldn't get a number five. Who wants the fifth penalty? And everyone's silent. I just went, if no one don't want it.
Everyone's got a name, Anton. Everyone's got a name.
Nigel didn't want it. Nigel, aww, captain at the time, didn't
said,
want it.
You said
did
you always talk
it.
Up, though. So you being yeah, that's going to say, yeah. Here, knowing that you're going to be the fifth man, if you're looking at players that you know, you're in training with them every day, I know you take pens better than me, at least.
No, but I get and understand the pressure's different.
The pressure's crazy, bro.
See, Nigel, right? If he would have stuck to, and Bobby Zamora used to say this all the time, right, in training. Nigel, see you. What you need to do is win it, get give it, and give it to the good
man,
players.
That's my problem.
That's what man you say to him, like, for banter in training.
No, it matters.
Get it and give it to the good players. 5 yarders only. You.
Couldn't they rephrase it differently, like give it to the more intelligent players?
No, it's not more intelligent. Nigel was intelligent at what he done.
No. Nigel Iwobi, but... Come on,
didn't they say that about Deschamps, to be fair? They said that about Deschamps. Get the ball, give it to Zidane. Don't try anything funny.
But if Nigel would have stuck to that, now I remember playing a Toulon tournament for England under 20s, and Peter Taylor played him in the Makalele role. He was the best player in the tournament. Yeah, he was a joke. But he thought he had more. Yeah. And wanted to show more. Rather than going, respectfully, I ain't really got that. Let me just be a ball winner.
Then, which he was great at.
Then the top 4, 100% he would have been in one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Fact. You could tell he thought he had more. He wanted to show and do and be more. He was like, he was a mentality monster.
Captain of Wimbledon at like 18, though, man. It's got to be affecting him.
Do you think the problem? So, because I always, this is, you've cleared something up for me, I think. At the end of his West Ham time, I could never understand why it just went, and he wanted to always leave and he wasn't respected.
He was respected by the team. You don't think the manager respected him, probably.
Or Bobby.
But, like I said, I always say to him, like, Nige, I say to him, Nige, like, if you was to do that part of the game, and I always refer back to the Toulon tournament, where he was the best player in the tournament, playing the Makalele role, 100%, all these interviews that he'd done saying that AC Milan won him and Inter Milan won him and all these top teams won him, one of them would have taken him, fact, based on if he'd just done that job. Because he was cold.
Yeah. How many other players do you know growing up that if they had just done their job the way they should have done, they would have... I doubt it.
I was one of them. I should have headed and volleyed.
What?
That's what manager told me. Just head and volley. I wanted to be Rio.
Bro, do you know how hard it is to head and volley? The ball's on the...
No. As a defender playing in the third division...
Hold on. You were a defender that didn't head or volley.
I didn't just head and volley.
Oh.
Take that one in, Dan.
He's a defender, no head of the ball.
No, we got one of those at my team. Yo, watch that drop out of the sky. We'll just, you hit all the shots. No bounce.
Nah, that's bouncing.
Head of the volley.
I done it, but that's all I should have done.
What other players do you feel didn't fulfill their potential like Nigeria?
Adel Taarabt.
That's one we always hear, yeah.
Adel, but what should he have done? Different.
Dedicated himself.
Yeah, cared more.
Dedicated himself to the game.
Would he have been as special though? There are some players that, you know, like, they need a short prime. You get like the players that work
hard. This guy, bruv. Seriously.
But doesn't it, it's like...
Armand Traoré as well, by the way. The left back, Armand Traoré. Cold.
But you know like that type of player that doesn't train well, doesn't go all out in the... Like, it just doesn't, like...
Yeah, but Dan, that's all right if you're Eden Hazard at Chelsea, but if you're bloody, no disrespect, at QPR Championship... Come on,
he
my guy.
So
what he done in a championship, he could have done that in the Premier League.
Well, you played with some crazy players in your time. And there's players that people don't talk about a lot. So I want to know what Thomas Repka was like.
Rah, Thomas Repka.
Yeah, he was a walking red card.
He was mad. He was, he went in a full ticket. I remember Ludek McCloskey, who's the goalkeeper coach, who's from Czech Republic as well.
He played for you a lot as well, didn't it?
Must have been about 18 coming into the first team, and I got on with Thomas Repka. I used to I asked Ludo, I said, what's he like at home and everything? I said, he got a bed, a chair and a TV. That's it.
What?
Yeah, like man's got a bed, a chair and a TV. Man has a shot of vodka every morning.
What?
But I've managed to smoke a cigarette all the time. So remember Upton Park? half time, you used to always hear Mr. Mooney's in the building, half time. Mr. Mooney in the building is when there's a fire. It's a it's like to say that there's a fire in the stadium. Right? Yeah. I was smoking half time, setting off the
fire alarm.
The alarms, yeah.
And no one's not telling
and
him.
No one telling him, no, stop.
But he played in Italy. That's how they in Italy.
Yeah,
they
but you're not in Italy.
No, Colin told us, Pirlo, but you're not here no more, man. Like, mix it up.
That's what he was on. Like, but he just
and
didn't
the gaffer
care.
Never told him stop.
He didn't care. Well, he didn't care.
He'd have been great at Wimbledon in the 90s. They would have loved him.
Then, you know, like, I remember he had a Ferrari, a blue Ferrari, and where he used to sit, like, backed onto the wall, where the wall was, where the car park was. And we used to have car cleaners come in. They used to give them your keys. They drive your car to where they cleaned it, then put it back. All of a sudden, we're sitting there, we just heard boom on the wall. Thinking, whose car's that? Someone's coming. Oh, it's Thomas, is your car? Ferrari, you know, brand new, you know.
And smashed up his whip.
Not even smashed up, just like a dent in the front, right? I came out a bit later, like about a minute after it was all going off. Fuck, I come out, I see Thomas Repka had him by the scruff of his neck, up on the wall, slapping the him, man. he was mad.
Was he a 4-night-a-week rover?
No, he weren't.
But
there.
He sounds insane. Like to have a blue Ferrari don't make any sense. I've never even seen one.
Navy blue. But what's it called? And again, another one. We play Millwall away.
Class. What a game.
And we was losing. I used to play right back. I'm playing centre back. And I'm saying, Thomas, like, tuck in. I'm talking, tucking. He's going, Anton. Off. Like, just weren't listening. Off. I'm going, Thomas, we're playing Millwall. Like, it's a big game.
It came across in the way he played, to be fair. He did play like that.
Like, had a good rapport with the fans. Like, when he left, his last game was against Villa. I think when Yossi Benayoun scored a crazy goal.
It was a big expectation when you bought him.
Oh, yeah.
Fiorentina.
Like, 5 mil. Yeah, 5 mil. Money big, back then.
Piece, yeah.
I want to ask you a question. I don't want to start any civil wars here. But do you think there was part of your game that you was better than your brother in? Like, do you think he's doing certain things, I'm better than you at that? You're not too good.
The pause means yes.
No, say it with your chest. I want to know. Because I think you was faster than him. I was
quicker than him.
Yeah, you had way more pace than him.
What else did you notice?
Better hair.
Better hair, really. Yeah, 100%. Doesn't wear hats for no reason.
Hairline strong.
But it was my dad's probably the best person to answer that question. If you asked my dad growing up who was better, he would have probably said me. Probably. I'd like to think.
Dad trick.
Anyway.
Dad trick's cold. Nah,
serious.
Yeah. Rio says differently.
When?
What do you think, though?
What do I think? I was quicker than Rio. Definitely quicker than him.
He wants to say better, so.
My passing was up. Passing. He was a dribbler. He could come out, suck someone in, pop it off. When you talk passing, let off left and right foot. What are you looking at like that?
Yeah, that's great.
Like that? Mr. Head it and kick it over there.
You think you're better passing that?
I think passing.
Range, bit of range.
Yeah, range.
We've got a mutual friend called Specs. He said it'd probably be best to mention Elhaj Diouf.
He's one of my favourite players.
He's got stories.
The fight we had.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's go.
But it weren't really a fight, if I'm honest. It was...
You just beat him up?
No, it didn't even get to that, really.
Where did it start from? Where did it start from?
So it started off on a training pitch. Everyone loves to play rondos. Him, Jibril, and a few other French boys, Pascal Chimbonde used to muck about. Used to muck about when we was doing them, and I remember Ricky Sprazier saying, if you're not going to keep mucking about, then I'm just going to run you for your warm-up and you won't do the rondos. And I was like, everyone loves rondos, so everyone's like, nah, that, like, we want to do the rondos, like, sort yourself out, boys. And they continued to muck about, and I just said, like, if they're going to muck about, because Ricky Sprazier come back again, and he said the same, I said, if they're going to muck about, do it with them. There's boys here that actually want to do the rondo. I'd prefer to do the rondo than do laps around the pitch, basically, yeah? And then he piped up, like, shut up, Anton. I was like, who are you talking to? So we got into an argument. And it continued through the session. Continued through the session. And on the way in, we got into the dressing room and he started chatting. And I just said to him, like, he was chatting shit. And I just said, listen, I said, if you want to fight, I said, none of this stupidness. I'm here. If you want to fight, let's roll. And he was like, "What do you mean?" I said exactly what I said. If you want it, let's roll. And then Dwight York stood up and put his hand on Elhadj, and Elhadj started going mad.
Okay. Sounds like me.
Hold me back now. Not Miles technique. I'm on it. What do you mean? Don't say Miles technique. If you get called out in my block, bro, you have to go. Win, lose, or draw, you have to go.
Poet nearly beat you up. Shut up, man.
You! I'll fight anyone on this panel, including you.
I just reiterated and said, listen, I know you're serious. If you step, I'm a big man. I'm not coming. If you want to fight, I know you're serious. Step in my vicinity and we will roll. And I just left it at that. And we were playing Fulham the next day, right? So we play Fulham. He's not playing. We win the game 1-0. I get man in a match. I played well in the game. And then Ricky Sprazier's doing his debrief after game, his post-match talk after the game. And while he's talking, Elhadj just got up with his towel on, started bopping. And Ricky Sprazier said, like, where are you going? He went, oh, I'm just going to the toilet. But he was going to have a shower. He was just disregarding what was being said, going for a shower. But then veered left, went like he's having a wee. And Ricky Spears was going, oh, we've got to do better. We won the game, but we've got to do better. We've got to be better attacking. Da, da, da. And Elhadj just flipping went, do you know what's got to be better? You. Because you're like that. Right. To the manager.
To the gaffer.
Right? What?
So I just said, I was actually trying to help him. Outrageous. I was actually trying to help Elhadj and say that, Elhadj, like, because you do that to a manager, you just won a game. You lose respect from the boys doing that. So I was like, Elhadj, like, if you got a problem with a manager,
go to his office tomorrow.
Go to his office and speak to him. Not in front of the boys. And he went, shut up, Anton. Like, speak when you're spoken to. And I went, what? and I went, what?
He's on vaults.
I was like,
vaults that day.
And he's in the towel.
And I was like,
that's intimidating.
No, I just said, all right, cool, whatever.
What's in a towel?
And I just said, like I said to you yesterday,
Val Venus.
I ain't been in that position before, but I can imagine a man talking crud to you in a towel.
Crazy.
That hits different.
I've seen that in like Rush Hour only. Oh yeah, for real.
In the massage parlor.
Nah, you can't fight in a towel. That's crazy.
And then I was just like, I just said, remember what I said to you yesterday? I'll know you're serious when you step to me. I'll know you're serious then. And that was it. Nothing happened. He went and showered. I went and started eating like post-match meal in the warm-up room, right? I'm sitting there. All of a sudden, Elhadj is standing over me.
With clothes on.
Fair, like, he got clothes on.
In your vicinity.
Yeah. Right. So I'm like, okay, he must really want it then. Right? So I stood up. And even then, I was like giggling, like,
sorry, Anton, just quickly. Have you got the cane rolls this time? Because I'm just trying to.
No.
Okay, no cane rolls. Okay, cool.
I had a level two all over.
All right, cool.
Okay.
Oh, cool. I remember that. Yeah, the little
Keith Kells.
Yeah. Go. Kells.
So,
Anton.
Yeah. So, I was giggling. And then, like, even I was like, Elhadj, like, piss off. And then he grabbed me too much. And I pushed him away. And I picked up my chair. And I went to hit him with my chair. And as I went to hit him, luckily for me, the physio got in the way and I hit the physio.
Ooh, hit the ref.
that's a DQ.
And the reason why I say luckily for me, because he would have tried to take me to court. He's that type of guy.
Oh, okay.
I hit the physio, but as I hit the physio, I let go of the chair, but then the SNC coach, Michael Clegg, his name
gave
is.
Gave you a stunner.
He flipping barged me onto the floor and picked me back up onto my feet. It was almost like in one movement. Like I went boom and came back up, right? And all of a sudden I see him with a butter knife.
What's going on? I
see Elhadj with a butter knife.
It's a hardcore match.
Yeah.
is it an actual butter knife?
He had a butter knife.
That's
yeah.
hard to pierce spreadable. With, you know? Yeah, yeah, that's hard.
So like when I saw that, I was just like, I just lost the plot. I was like, you better stab me, you prick. Like, the, and I lost the plot. Knife. And then they
that's
took
why.
Me.
If it was a steak knife, it would have been. Would have piped down a bit.
I would have said, that's cool, man. No, but it's like, I just lost the plot. Like, and then they took me out of the dressing room. And on the way round to the kit room, the club secretary was coming down, name's Max Burns, was walking down the stairs. And I lost it with her. I said, it's either him that's got a leap club. It's either me or him.
How long had that been building up, though? Was it just that
incident?
Just
a couple of days. Just a couple of days, yeah.
But the adrenaline must have been like, because you don't know, you're going to fight, and you're not going to fight. Then you go in the morning, you don't know if you're cool, if you're not cool. I hate them situations.
Yeah, let's just have it out, innit?
And then all of a sudden, that happened. Next day I came in, I walked in, there was boxing gloves in my spot.
Good move.
Right? So I said to Ella, I just said, listen, I'm not putting no gloves. You want to fight, let's go. I'm not putting on gloves. If you want to fight, let's go. I'm not a kid.
Oh, yeah? Who put the gloves?
Ella just put the gloves in my place.
He's the best.
Ella just put my gloves in my
He's
place.
He's the Joker, you know.
That's good banter, though. That's good banter, yeah.
I don't think he was bantering.
And I said, listen, I'm not putting on no gloves. If you want to fight, let's go and fight. Like, I'm not thinking. And I was like, well, do you want to fight? And that was the end of it. Till then. Then he got shipped out. He went to Blackburn. And he saw, apparently, allegedly, I should say, the woman, that Max Burns, he saw her in Manchester on a night out. And like surrounded her with all of his boys, and I think he gave her a slap or something.
Allegedly.
Exclusive.
And then I went Manchester with my pals. It was one of my pals' stag do's.
Good destination.
I met them in Manchester. We went out. Elad rolled in with his boys. But he didn't realise that I was with my boys.
I heard your right. boys are some serious, it's a serious lot you was with though. Your lot.
They're all right. And then because he thought I was on my own, he tried to come to me on the dance floor.
What?
Yeah. Right, dance battle? This is what I'm in now.
Nah.
A dance battle.
Right.
Remember what and establishment?
Step two.
I can't remember the club.
Anton would have won with that singing career, so you'd have been good for him.
Choreography, he's got it.
Would you beat him at a dance? You'd have beat him at a dance battle, innit?
Nah.
Huh?
You think you're saying I'm stiff?
Nah, but El Hadj, them men are front.
Them men have got their hips elite. And
they're yeah.
Yeah, it's true. No. They're going to mash you up, you know? Yeah. No.
No. No. No.
Can't win.
No. But then all of a sudden, we just got into it, in a dance floor. He grabbed me, picked him up. And was walking with him on the dance floor. Then just about to fight. And then one of my brethren just bear hugged me, threw me to the side, and then they just went to work.
Mad thing.
Huh? What, went to what? What, they beat? What, they smoked?
Allegedly
what?
Or?
They went to work, allegedly.
You reckon you could have alleged?
I'll mash him up. Mash him up.
Listen, there's always fights in dressing rooms. Always.
Well, always. Like physical punch in the face.
Yeah, there's fight. Always.
What's the best
fight.
One?
That I've seen.
You had some characters. Zen Denzel, Black Belt.
Yeah, Joey Barton and Craig Bellamy. Nearly happened.
Is there a legendary one that does the rounds that you heard of? You weren't there, but just in the football community, this one's legendary.
The Craig Bellamy and John Arisa.
Oh, but we know that one. Is there one that we don't know that you know someone, you know for a fact this guy's been punched up?
I'd like to hear about Joey nearly coming to terms blows with Craig Bellamy. That sounds good.
I know what you're saying though, Miles, because remember Ramsey almost allegedly punched Van Persie in one game.
Stephen Bywater and Jermaine Defoe nearly.
Stephen Bywater's crazy though, allegedly.
Yeah. But you know,
he's got guns or something, Stephen Bywater, right?
When he retired, I'm not sure he's got guns, but when he retired, he's trained UFC properly.
Yeah, I've heard he's
He's mad.
But JD's little swingers.
They didn't fight in the end. It was gonna go off. He ran. He was dusting.
No.
He was dusting.
Do you remember when JD said, when I say, bruv, it's going to go?
No, but Stephen Bywater's reputation
is
mental.
He can. Basically, something happened and Jermaine Defoe just threw his threw a bread roll or something, and Stephen Bywater was eating a soup, and it just landed in his soup and went psh. And then Bywater just lost the plot, and then Jammer was off. It was off.
Right.
Incredible.
But like for Jammer, I think it was more of a joke, whereas Stephen had Bywater had gone.
You can see it in his face.
Like, but even like me and Range, me and Nile Ranger.
Beam up.
Well, you had a man.
No, listen, I got bare time for now. And he's somebody who when you talk about
potential.
Biggest potential and most frustrating, he will be in that conversation. Yeah,
100.
He should have been
He was called
a top Premier League striker. Facts. Should have been. But he's off the field stuff.
I was going to bring that up earlier when you said Alan Pardew was the kind of manager that lets you get away with stuff. I thought maybe he should have let some people not get away with some stuff.
No, but it was like, yeah, it was. But we had, me and Niall didn't see eye to eye in the dressing room all the time.
Where was you?
At Southend. Southend.
Ah, oh, okay.
Southend. Like,
Pardew was at Newcastle, wasn't it?
Yeah, so like, to put into context, we had a disagreement. He had just come back from a 2-month ban for drug substances, yeah?
Sounds about right.
And his first game back was away at Bristol Rovers, yeah? And we lost the game. We were and he come on in the first half hour or 40 minutes he came on. And then after the game, he went like, can I say something? So like Gaff was like, yeah, Phil Brown was like, yeah, go on and say what you want. And he went, I've got to play. I should be playing. I should be starting. Because when I start, we're a better team.
In front of the whole team.
And one
well.
Of the players went, hold on a minute. You've just come back from a drug ban. And you're saying you should play. Like, sort yourself out. And he was like, started like talking and clapping. Like, what do you mean? Like, doing all of that. Yeah.
Like Felicia.
Yeah. Like, started doing all of that. And, oh, man. And yeah. then man I was there.
You, man,
I was.
You, man, don't know me.
So I was captain at the time. And I just said, Range, I actually don't mind what you're saying because I think it's true. I said, however, you ain't got no legs in this dressing room to talk because you don't do things properly. Like, if you want to chat in this dressing room, turn up on time. And train properly, yeah. Then what you're saying, I'd actually back it. And then he tried to do that talking with me, and then we just got into it.
Hang on. Hey, Anon, are you a hard man at the clubs?
No.
Huh?
No.
If we're doing this sit around with someone else, would they put you in their hard man list?
No.
Why would you? He's just not going to have
principle,
it.
Man.
Yeah, he's not having it, man. Yeah.
If he was doing the right things, I actually would have backed him. If someone would have said, no, I'm not having it, even though he's just come off a drug ban, I still would have said, my man trains properly. He turns up on time. We need him.
Yeah.
So, I think he's right. So, it's principles for me.
Is that me? The honey badger?
A honey badger's crazy. Yeah, badger crazy. Brothers.
No, you're crazy. You're 100% a honey badger.
Just not having
an
it.
An animal that doesn't have it
from anyone.
Like I'm talking, bro. It's like it's literally a badger, but it won't. This it big. Won't. It won't back fight off anything. From a lion.
Bringing it back to you now, we ask most our guests this. I just want to know who's the toughest striker you've come across, and don't obviously you've played against the Henrys and all those guys. You could say that, but give us a name that we wouldn't see coming. Like he's tough. Well, he gave me a problem.
Anelka,
come on.
For me, was the toughest player I played against. Anelka, at Chelsea.
Oh, okay.
Not at Bolton, at Chelsea. At Bolton, like he almost put me in a full sense of security playing against him at Bolton because he was half bothered. Players weren't on his wavelength. Played against him at Chelsea, cold.
Was he playing alongside Drogba when you played against him? Yeah, that's
cold.
A nightmare, man.
Cold. I enjoyed it, but it was like he was hard to play against. Michael Owen was hard to play against.
Did you ever play against Louis Saha at Fulham?
Yeah.
Was he a problem?
Yeah, he was. His movement was good. He's strong as well.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You know that. Well, Kevin Davis.
Kevin Davis.
He was tough to play against. He
Steve
knew
Bruce's
he was in the game.
Sunderland versus Allardyce's Kevin Davies. You couldn't have played. A lot of headers and volleys, Steve.
A lot of headers and volleys.
I'm not sure if Kevin Davis played. I think it was Daniel Sturridge and Jack Wilshere both there on loan at the time. Yeah.
Bolton.
Huh?
At Bolton.
At Bolton, yeah.
At Bolton, yeah. It was thingy. I, I felt my hamstring in the first 10 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
I did, but I played the whole game with it.
That's two techie players, man. Oh, they should have played together more.
You know what? That's when I knew. When I saw Jack Wilshere in that game, bruv, my man was like in the middle of the park playing like a winger. Man would front man up and just take you on. Like he took Jordan on in the middle of the park.
Like, those raw. Two players are just a generation too soon.
Yeah.
They come
yeah,
out a generation
they come
later,
out this generation.
Mad. Yeah.
It's a wrap.
Like, I just remember, I remember going off after the game, speaking to Sturridge and Jack, both of them saying, flipping out, you two have got big futures, man. You two are cold.
Who's the biggest, not flop, but like person who you looked at and thought, he's going to go all the way and like really didn't go all the way? Because when you talking about, what's it, Wilshere, Chelsea's one, we thought we had Wilshere in Josh McEachran. Like, we thought we had him. Like, and then he just disappeared and never resurfaced ever. Like, who was the one from your generation that you thought this is going to be the world beater, best of the generation? And
you know, it's a person that nobody don't know.
Is it?
And he's from Tottenham.
Come on.
His name's James Allen.
I know James.
Cold.
Of course.
Cold. Cold. You don't think he's a baller?
No, he's cold. He's cold. He's cold.
Muggs don't know him, man.
But Muggs is a baller.
Do you know James?
Oh.
James from Tottenham. James, did he play for Tottenham or is he just from the area?
No, he's from the area.
James Allen, how old?
He's good friends with Akala.
Oh, okay.
Akala was at Wimbledon.
Yeah, Akala was good.
Yeah.
But so James Allen,
where did you come across?
West Ham youth team.
No, he was alright.
West Ham youth team. Akala was at West Ham as well. Right, they were in the same youth team. This boy, James Allen. This guy, James Allen. Yeah.
Cold. What position was he?
Right winger. Right. Cold. He was this guy. So, before the game starts, we're playing. My man's lined up on the right hand side. Going, wait, left back. I'm going to get you released today, son. He was that guy.
No.
I swear down, and he would terrorise him. He's the only person I've seen a left back turn and go, somebody help me, please.
Yeah.
I swear down.
Sounds like Mark Randall, though, at Arsenal.
I swear down. Cold.
So what happened?
Cold.
Track back.
Managed to turn up for youth games straight from a night out. With McDonald's breakfast in his bag.
Oh, he thought he already made it before.
On
he
the
made
way
it.
To no, he just like he liked the streets, he liked the roads more than not. I'm sure like he sits and regrets it now. This guy seriously should have been name in lights in the Premier League. He was cold
from Tottenham. Yeah. I don't know him.
Cold. All the talent in the world, man.
That's mad.
You've got to chuck him down, man.
Got to have 100%.
Cold. James Allen.
Who did you play for?
Play for West Ham.
West Ham?
Youth team.
Who did you say, Steve-O?
I said, where's he from? Where's he from? That's my area. I used to play against him. Yeah.
How did you do?
How did I do? I played on the other side. But by the time the youth team were playing, I was in the first team at 16.
I have to ask all my guest this. How does the top four end? In order. First or fourth?
He knows everyone that.
Hey, Muggs, I don't like you. Timing was perfect.
By the time it ends of the episode, you're half asleep. But,
oh, wow.
I think now De Bruyne is back after what he done the weekend, and he's not even fit yet. I think.
And the hair.
Yeah, I was going to say, and the new trim.
It's crazy, isn't
it's over
it?
Now. You know what? I think at this point of the season, I think Pep hit the nail on the head last year. He done Mikel last year by saying, this is the part of the season that I love. Like, and I always go back to that. When he started chatting that in the press, and obviously Arteta's been with him, Arteta was probably thinking, "Rod, I'm not sure about this." I think now it's coming to the business end of the season. They've got players coming back. Haaland due back as well.
A couple of weeks.
I think it's going to be City are going to win it again. City, Liverpool. I'm not sure if I see Villa slipping away, you know. Not sure.
They probably needed to win this weekend.
Not sure, though. I'm not sure.
Yeah?
Nah. United, no. I hope United, for me personally, with what happened with Jadon, I hope he does well when United finish outside the top six. It won't be popular with Rio, but.
I like that.
It's all right, man. Rio's yes, used to things that are not popular.
Eight names is top four, yeah?
No. So third?
Third.
Villa?
Spurs?
I think it could be Tottenham, you know?
Spurs, Villa. Ran out of top four. Love
what's
that.
What's going on?
He's got, he's talking sense. I'm
City.
Listening. I'm
like, City, yeah, Liverpool, Spurs, Villa.
My fourth.
He just said he don't see the Villa dropping off.
Go on.
It's tight now. Look, he's got Arsenal, he's got Villa. Nah, Spurs, he's got Villa. United.
Go on. Say it here.
Man, just say
this gap's too long. I'm confused. This
believe.
Gap's too
say
long, Anton.
It's not right or wrong answer.
I don't. I just don't think it'll be Arsenal. I don't.
You do.
I don't.
You do, man.
I don't.
Why?
Definitely no ball.
Remember, you're agreeing with him.
No, I know the reason. Listen, if
good song,
the front three start firing again, you got a great chance.
Your strikers can't score is a good reason to say you're gonna.
Yeah, Paul gets rattled whenever you talk about Arsenal.
100%. But look, when May comes, you're gonna definitely give me a my bad whatever. Anyway.
Is
so
it? I ain't got. It's halfway through the season, and I said it's at the start of the season. No my bad yet. Just letting you know that. Okay.
Sweet.
Gonna be. I think it's gonna be hard. I think there's. There's a lot of things going on from what I see from the outside looking in that are affecting the dressing room.
The recent bias stinks, you know.
Really?
It's hard to listen to.
We've been saying this all season.
We've all been here. 3-4 weeks ago, this Declan Rice talk that we were hearing every minute, you're encouraging him. There was no talk about Arsenal outside top four. But now, we don't know if they're going to get top four.
I've not said Declan's a problem. I've not said Dex
a problem. He needs help, man. He needs help. He needs help.
Whatever, Steve.
You look like Odegaard's not the same Odegaard. Like, he needs help.
I called this, you know. I said it. I said Arsenal.
You lot brought Declan and dropped off.
Beginning of the season.
Do you know what people underestimate? The power of a dressing room when someone's getting treated wrong.
Yeah, he's talking about the keeper.
The keeper, 100%. I said the same thing when it comes to Sancho. And I said this to Rio.
You think that's really had an effect on us?
You think that's wrong?
100%. The reason why. You look at United as the elite United. They're no longer elite. You got players now who ain't elite. They ain't got elite mindset. See the players that don't have elite mindset. See the players that play in the Premier League but don't have elite mindsets, yeah? They all down tools if their bridges not getting treated properly.
So Arsenal not scoring goals because Ramsdale's dad's upset? Nah, come on, man.
He's giving you the option to think about
it. No, poet. Big man.
I would say the way they're mistreating Elneny.
The cohesion and there's like, I'm not saying people are down in tools in that team. I just think you got a manager who overthinks a lot of things.
Yes.
I believe that, yeah.
And because of his overthinking, it's causing problems, in my opinion.
We'll have Ramsdale as well, you know.
You need him.
I agree with him. It was a problem that didn't need to be caused. You don't mess with the back line.
Can I just add to that as well? We know we need to wrap up, but last year, your thing was how the team was together. That was your extra power. So if a little bit of that's gone, that's taken away from you. It's going to make sense of why you've got the same team, added more tools to it, and you've lost that.
It was
you know
a problem
I mean?
So that didn't need to be caused.
Yeah.
You don't mess with the back line.
That was a bad spell last season as well.
I think the biggest thing is as well, I don't see no plan B. There's only one way.
So that means we're going to go to top four. Cool, no problem. I just need to know top four.
He said it.
I personally think we'll get top
big
four.
Big man, why are you getting
the fifth best team in the league?
Yeah, he just said it.
We'll come back for you, Anton. Me, you're going to say my bad.
Okay.
I appreciate you coming and causing some controversy at the end there. Because like I say, Rashford scored now, so you're going to have to lay off Marcus Rashford.
I'm not harsh on him. Who's harsh on him?
Who was harsh on him?
He done this to you.
He did this to you. He scored and he said, Anton.
Oh my gosh, did he do that celebration?
Yeah.
That's my new one as well. I've been doing that this season.
What, no, are you a bags man?
I'm a DM, but I can get goals from anywhere. I'm getting goals. But that's my one.
Anton Ferdinand, thank you for coming. That's a great episode. Filthy@5.com. Subscribe to the channel. Oh, listen to us on audio platforms. Follow Anton as well, because he's always doing stuff, charity stuff and stuff.